So tonight I'm going to talk about gratitude. Feels like an appropriate topic for Thanksgiving week. The first thing I'll say is that there's a tremendous amount of research that suggests that just having a gratitude practice makes people much happier. And it's funny because it's so simple. And yet focusing on gratitude, it has measurable changes. I think it even changes brain chemistry. You know? And so, as simple as it is, it's important not to underestimate how powerful gratitude is. And I don't know that a gratitude practice per se, I'm not familiar with its roots in the Buddhist tradition. In the Western religions, certainly Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, there's a long tradition of giving thanks. And it's really been part of sacred tradition since the beginning. So in order to talk about gratitude, I'm going to talk about what I like to call the four levels of gratitude. Each level starts out with what you might say an easiest level, and then each level involves considerably more challenge than the level before. The first level of gratitude is simply gratefulness for what you might call the over-the-top wonderful things in life. You know, the best things of life when they happen. You know, that kind of thing. Most people spontaneously feel gratitude for those things when they happen. And I think that the teaching here, the lesson here is simply, how long do we savor that, you know? If something really good happens to us, how long before it becomes something just taken for granted and discounted, you know? Are we still savoring it a week, a month, 6 months down the road? Are we still appreciating the good thing that happened, you know? What is sort of the half-life of our spontaneous appreciation for something good? And it might be worthwhile to say at this point that this idea, so in many ways the opposite of gratitude, is simply taking for granted. And just as gratitude is very simple but underestimated, taking for granted is very simple but underestimated. But in the case of taking for granted, it's a poison that's underestimated. Taking for granted is a really effective strategy for making sure we get zero appreciation out of something, zero joy out of something while I have it, but then we can still be devastated when we lose it, you know? You know, imagine how devastated any of us would be if, you know, suddenly somebody said, you're going to lose your sight, you're going to lose use of your legs, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It would be a devastating loss, but if we're taking for granted, we're not getting any joy of the fact that we still have them, you know? And so it really is, it's a profound poison even toward inanimate objects, and then, of course, taking for granted causes all kinds of additional problems when it's introduced into interhuman relationships. So anyway, that's the first level of gratitude. Simply, what kind of experience do we have when something truly wonderful happens to us? Do we savor it? Do we appreciate it? Do we allow ourselves to savor it over time? You know? And again, is there a kind of typical half-life to when we stop appreciating something? The second level of gratitude, a little more challenging, is gratefulness for the absolutely ordinary everyday things that are wonderful. And again, this is where just appreciation for the things I was listing a moment ago, appreciation for the fact that I have sight, that I have hearing, that I can eat food, that I can walk, you know, all these very basic things. And again, we'd be devastated if we lost any of them. But part of gratitude is truly appreciating that we have that ability now. Recognizing and appreciating and being thankful right now that I have this ability, that I haven't lost it, at least as of yet. You know, and it's also just appreciation for all the ordinary things, the absolutely mundane, ordinary things that bring us small benefits every day. A toothbrush, a fork, sidewalks, you know, just these incredibly ordinary, basic things that bring us benefit, you know. You know, and suddenly we lost our toothbrush, or our house were somehow out of forks or something, like, you know, the inconvenience that it would bring us, you know. And so there's convenience that is brought to us. Are we appreciating that every day? You know, and simply to practice this level of gratitude, the whole world becomes rich with blessings. Like we're surrounded by blessings 24 hours a day. If we just open our eyes to this level of gratitude. And what's challenging about this is simply the attention, just noticing it. And this is where mindfulness practice is very important and dovetails very well with a gratitude practice. Just paying attention to the fact, in this very simple task, I'm getting benefit from this stapler or, you know, whatever it is. And registering the gratitude for that. So that I would call the second level of gratitude. There's some kind of message written on Marco's. I can't even read it there. Anyway.
Stay focused.
Yes, okay. Dharma talk. All right, gratitude, yes. Very thankful that people have humorous Zoom icons. Third level gratitude, a little bit harder. And this I would say is for people that already have done a lot of work on the second level of gratitude. Third level gratitude is gratitude for those things that are kind of mildly annoying. Those little annoyances, those little blocks, those little troublesome things in everyday life. And this level of gratitude is based very much on the Buddhist idea that what pushes my buttons is my teacher. You know, anything that gets under my collar, gets under my skin, makes me mad, makes me impatient, makes me frustrated, is holding a mirror to me. You know, it's making me look at ways that I'm not generous enough, not patient enough. Generosity and patience, of course, are paramitas, perfections of the Buddha. You know, and it's not easy at all to practice gratitude for these things, because, of course, our first impulse is, you know, why the blankety blank is this happening to me, you know? But it's actually tremendous practice if we can be disciplined about reframing that. Okay, I'm annoyed, you know, this is a mirror, you know, I bow in gratitude toward this mirror that is being given to me. It's funny, the world really is. The older I get, the more it seems to me that the world is just so incredibly compassionate. And the universe is always giving me exactly the message I need. It usually is the message that I don't want, you know, but it's the message that I need. And of course, the less I want it, the more confronting that message is going to be, you know, all of that. But it's, you know, it's far from just random annoyances when I look at it in a larger view. And so there is, as paradoxical as it is, there is some cause for gratitude there. But it how can I say, it takes a kind of either trust in the Buddhist teaching, trust in the teaching that the thing that annoys me really is giving me a tool of something valuable to work with, you know, or trust in something similar. Trust that all things contain the teaching, that there is a larger teaching behind the pattern of experiences that confront me. So that's the third level of gratitude, the mildly annoying everyday things, the things that push my buttons, get under, you know, hot under the collar, you know, this sort of thing. The final level of gratitude, perhaps the most challenging and one that I would not call myself at all proficient in, would be gratitude for the life tragedies. Gratitude for the most painful experiences in life. And in my own experience, I don't think this is, I mean, I think one would have to be a Buddha to be able to practice this in real time, you know, in practice, you know, I can start to come to some kind of gratitude and appreciation for devastating events that happened multiple decades ago, you know, after there's a certain amount of healing and then I can see the life lesson that's come, you know, that sort of thing. It would be a spiritual being far beyond my level who would be able to see the gratitude in the moment that the devastating event was happening. But I think the value even in acknowledging this fourth state, even though it's certainly beyond me, is kind of this awareness that there is something limitless about gratitude, that the lens of gratitude is a lens that can hold all human experience. And there's something powerful about that. And so gratitude, like love, like affirmation of life, these are as it were, ultimately gigantic containers, containers that can hold all of human experience. And there's something very humbling about that. And there's always something very much in the flavor of the divine about something that can hold all of human experience. So I'll share the quote sheet now. For the folks on Zoom, there's the quote sheet. And for the folks who didn't get the advanced copy in the room, starts out with Meister Eckhart, the great Christian mystic. If the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. Love that. From John Milton, the great poet. Gratitude bestows reverence, allowing us to encounter everyday epiphanies, those transcendent moments of awe that change forever how we experience life in the world. And this is from a man who was challenged with a tremendous life tragedy, went blind in the middle of his life, and still was able to complete some of his greatest poems after that. From William Blake, the thankful receiver bears a plentiful harvest. Robert Louis Stevenson says, keep your eyes open to your mercies. The man who forgets to be thankful has fallen asleep in life. And that's really a wonderful description of taking things for granted. If we're taking everything for granted, we've fallen asleep in life. We're living, but we're not really alive. A couple from G.K. Chesterton, the Catholic writer from the beginning of the century, I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Love that. He also said, when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. And so just that very stark contrast. Karl Barth said quite simply, joy is the simplest form of gratitude. Shunryo Suzuki said, if you can just appreciate each thing one by one, then you will have pure gratitude. Even though you observe just one flower, that one flower includes everything. You know, it's a great reminder. You know, gratitude is not about quantity at all. It just is about the quality of presence. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who died in a concentration camp, said, gratitude changes the pangs of memory into tranquil joy. Truly brave soul he was.
How did he get the writing out?
Some of the writing was before he was sent, and I think
he died like 36.
Yeah, he was a theologian, so he was already writing before they locked him up, and I think he did manage to smuggle some more writings out through some secret means, but I don't know the details. From Johannes Gartner, to speak gratitude is courteous and pleasant, to enact gratitude is generous and noble, but to live gratitude is to touch heaven. JFK said, we must find the time to stop and thank the people who make a difference in our lives. It's also just wonderful, have we actually given gratitude and appreciation to all the people who have done wonderful things for us in life, you know? Have we let those people know, you know?
Hey, Mike?
Yes.
Today is also the anniversary of when JFK was killed.
Yes. So very appropriate we're talking about this great man.
Yes.
What is pangs?
What's that?
Pangs.
Pangs are small pains.
Craving. It's like craving, yeah? A little bit.
Yes, exactly. So JFK also said, as we express gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live them. Joseph Worthland said, sometimes we should expect gratitude for the small and simple things, like the scent of the rain, the taste of your favorite food, or the sound of a loved one's voice. Eileen Caddy said, gratitude helps you to grow and expand. Gratitude brings joy and laughter into your life and into the lives of all around you. William Arthur Ward said, gratitude can only transform common days into thanksgiving, turn routine jobs into joy, and change ordinary opportunities into blessings. Zig Ziglar said, gratitude is the healthiest of all human emotions. The more you express gratitude for what you have, the more likely you will have even more to express gratitude for, echoing William Blake's sentiment. Neil Maxwell said, we should certainly count our blessings, but we should also make our blessings count. His Holiness the Dalai Lama said, when you practice gratefulness, there is a sense of respect toward others. You know, and part of the ordinary gratefulness is just the appreciation of all the ordinary people who make our lives better. The cashier, the Muni bus driver, like all these people, you know. Sarah Ban Brecknath says, "When whatever we're waiting for, peace of mind, contentment, grace, the inner awareness of simple abundance, it surely will come to us, but only when we are able to receive it with an open and grateful heart." And she also said, gratitude is the most passionate, transformative force in the cosmos. When we offer thanks to God or to another human being, gratefulness gifts us with renewal, reflection, reconnection. Melanie Beatty said, gratitude can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. It makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Oprah Winfrey says, be thankful for what you'll have. You'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you'll never, ever have enough. So there's, again, this theme of how magnetic gratitude is. Alice Walker said, thank you is the best prayer that anyone could say. I say that one a lot. Thank you expresses extreme gratitude, humility, and understanding. Eckhart Tolle said quite simply, it is through gratitude for the present moment that the spiritual dimension of life opens up. Robert Brault says, enjoy the little things, or one day you may look back and realize they were big things. Brené Brown says, I don't have to chase extraordinary moments to find happiness. It's right in front of me if I'm paying attention and practicing gratitude. Really radical words calling into question the entire capitalist system there. Rashid Olungaru said, in life, one has a choice to take one of two paths, to wait for some special day or to celebrate each special day. And Kristen Armstrong said, when we focus on our gratitude, the tide of disappointment goes out and the tide of love rushes in.